Welcome back to Mechanical Dreams, the podcast where we decode the latest and greatest in machine learning and natural language processing. I'm Professor Norris, your reasoned and skeptic and guide through the latent space.
And I am Linda. Today we have a paper that is going to make our current language models look like goldfish with a 10-second memory span.
Goldfish, you say? I'll have you know my standard transformer models are quite proud of their 1 million token context windows. They can remember at least a whole book before forgetting the protagonist's name.
That is true, Dr. Norris. 1 million tokens is impressive for a single novel. But what if we want an AI that remembers an entire lifetime of information? The paper I brought today is called MSA, Memory Sparse Attention for Efficient End-to-End Memory Model Scaling to 100M Tokens, by a joint team from Shanda Group, Peking University, and Evermind.
100 million tokens? That is quite the leap. I suppose if we want true digital twins or agents that maintain a stable persona over years of interaction, they would need something on that scale.
Exactly. The authors point out a fascinating cognitive science estimate in the introduction. Human functional memory capacity is around 10 to the power of 9 bits. If you translate that semantic density into LLM terms, it is about 200 to 300 million tokens.
So 100 million gets us right into the ballpark of a human's lifetime memory. That is a staggering amount of data to keep active. But as someone who has watched the compute costs of full attention scale quadratically for years, my immediate thought is, how on earth do they do this without melting down a data center?
That is the 100 million token question. They propose an end-to-end trainable, scalable, sparse attention architecture that completely decouples memory capacity from reasoning.
Decoupling capacity from reasoning? Now that sounds like the holy grail of NLP. Let us dive in and see if their architecture can actually cash the checks their abstract is writing. So, decoupling capacity from reasoning. It is an elegant phrase, but let us be honest. The NLP community has been banging its head against this wall for years. The standard transformer's self-attention mechanism scales quadratically. If you double the context length, you quadruple the compute. Getting to 1 million tokens is already a Herculean engineering feat.
Exactly. And the authors of the MSA paper do a fantastic job breaking down why our current workarounds just do not cut it for lifetime scale memory. They divide the existing memory paradigms into three main categories. First up is parameter-based memory.
Ah, yes, internalizing knowledge by directly updating the model weights. Methods like continuous pre-training or LoRa, or even newer test-time training architectures like Titans. I've always liked the deep semantic integration you get there.
It does give you high precision, but the fatal flaw is capacity scalability. Parameter updates are notoriously vulnerable to catastrophic forgetting. If you teach the model new, conflicting knowledge over time, it overwrites the old stuff. Plus, the training overhead for complex memory management is massive.
True. You can't just keep fine-tuning a model every time your user says hello. It's highly impractical for real-time, lifelong agent interactions. So what about the second paradigm? I assume we're talking about external storage, which usually means retrieval augmented generation, or RAG.
Spot on. RAG, or systems like MemAgent, you retrieve relevant textual chunks from a massive external database based on vector similarity. It naturally scales to lifetime-sized memory banks, and you completely avoid catastrophic forgetting because the base model parameters don't change.
Right, and RAG is practically the industry standard right now. But let me guess, the authors argue that RAG has an intrinsic performance ceiling.
You guessed it. The problem with RAG is the lack of end-to-end trainability. It relies on discrete semantic representations, like raw text or pre-computed embeddings. The retrieval pipeline is decoupled from the generation objective. The metric used to fetch the memory only weakly aligns with the model's internal reasoning space. It's basically shallow semantic matching.
That is a very fair critique. You're retrieving based on a static similarity score, which might not be what the attention heads actually need to synthesize the next token. So we want the scalability of RAG, but the deep integration of parameter-based methods. What is the third paradigm?
The third is latent state-based memory. This involves constructing memory directly from the model's internal latent representations, like hidden states or KV caches. Operating in the native representation space gives you that high semantic fidelity RAG is missing.
This sounds like the linear retention models I've been seeing recently. Things like RWKV or DeltaNet, where they formulate attention as a linear recurrence and update a fixed size memory state.
Yes, but that fixed size state is exactly the trap. To achieve that linear complexity, they recurrently compress the entire history into bounded latent states. It's inherently lossy compression. When you push that to extreme lengths, like 100 million tokens, the bounded capacity forces the model to drop information. It causes severe performance degradation.
Oh, I see. If you try to stuff an entire library into a single vector, you're going to lose a few books. And I imagine if you try to keep the uncompressed KV cache around for 100 million tokens, your GPU will simply catch fire.
Exactly. The authors note that keeping standard KV caches for that long is prohibitively expensive. So existing approaches are stuck. They either deliver strong precision but hit a strict capacity wall, or they scale infinitely but struggle with reliable effectiveness because they're not end-to-end trainable.
Well, Linda, you've painted a suitably bleak picture of the status quo. We have an impossible triangle of scalability, precision, and trainability. Well, we get to hear how memory sparse attention plans to square this circle. All right, Linda, you have thoroughly dismantled the existing methods. How does memory sparse attention, or MSA, actually solve this impossible triangle of scalability, precision, and trainability?
By bringing the retrieval process inside the attention mechanism. MSA is a unified end-to-end trainable latent memory framework. Instead of a separate dense retriever like RAG, it replaces standard dense self-attention with a document-based sparse attention mechanism.
Wait, so it is doing retrieval directly on the hidden states. How do you calculate attention over 100 million tokens without your compute exploding?
That is the trick. They introduce specialized learnable components. Alongside the standard key and value matrices generated by the backbone, they add a router K projector. This generates a specialized routing key matrix for each document.
Ah, so they have a dedicated representation just for routing, separate from the content generation. That makes sense. But a routing key for every single token is still too much data for a massive memory bank.
Exactly. To drastically reduce the memory footprint, they segment each document into fixed-length chunks, typically 64 tokens, and apply mean pooling. So they compress these routing keys, as well as the standard keys and values, into highly compact latent representations.
Oh, I see. So during inference, when a user asks a question, the model uses a router queue projector to generate a routing query. It compares this against the compressed routing keys using cosine similarity and just selects the top K most relevant documents.
Yes, and crucially, only the compressed key and value matrices of those top K selected documents are actually concatenated with the query's local cache for the final autoregressive generation.
That is wonderfully efficient. You get the deep semantic alignment of operating in the model's native latent space, but you cap the actual attention computation to just the top K chunks. I'm guessing they apply this sparse attention across the entire network.
Actually, no. They selectively apply the MSA routing strategy exclusively to the latter half of the model's layers.
Really? Why only the top half? I would think you want to pull in relevant memory as early as possible to inform the entire forward pass.
Empirical analysis showed that the hidden states in the initial layers simply haven't formed the high-level semantic abstractions needed for effective retrieval. If you try to route at layer 2, it's just too noisy. So lower layers just process local context independently to build up those representations, and the sparse retrieval kicks in later.
Fascinating. The lower layers are basically reading the words, and the upper layers are connecting the concepts to the broader memory. But Linda, there's a giant elephant in the room regarding context length extrapolation. Positional encodings.
Ah, the classic train on short, infer on long problem.
Exactly. Standard rotary positional embeddings, or rope, assign monotonically increasing position IDs. If you train a model on 64k tokens and then suddenly hit it with 100 million tokens during inference, the position indices shift drastically. The model has never seen position ID 50 million. It should completely break.
And it would if they used standard global rope, but MSA introduces a mixed strategy, parallel and global rope. For the memory bank, they assign independent position IDs starting from zero for each document.
Ah, so a token's position is relative to its own document, not the entire concatenated 100 million token sequence. That completely decouples the positional semantics from the total number of documents in memory.
Exactly. That's what gives it such robust generalization. The model can extrapolate to massive memory contexts even after being trained on much smaller subsets. Then, for the active context, which is the user query and the generated answer, they use a global rope.
Let me guess, they offset the position IDs of the query by the number of retrieved documents to preserve the causal dependency.
Spot on, Professor. The query position indices initiate from K, corresponding to the top K retrieved compressed keys and values. It makes the model perceive the active context as a logical continuation of the retrieved background information.
I have to admit, that is an incredibly elegant design. End-to-end trainable routing in the latent space, compressed for efficiency, and mathematically isolated from the context length explosion using document-wise rope. It's a very tight architectural package. Okay, Linda. The architecture is elegant on paper, but as someone who has stared down the barrel of a CUDA out-of-memory error more times than I care to admit, I have a bone to pick. Theory is one thing, but running 100 million tokens in a KV cache usually requires a server farm.
I was waiting for you to bring that up. The authors were very aware of the hardware constraints. In fact, they built a specialized inference engine that runs this massive 100 million token context on just two NVIDIA A800 GPUs.
Wait, two A800s? That is only 160 gigabytes of VRAM total. A standard uncompressed KV cache for 100 million tokens would be terabytes of data. Are you telling me their chunking method compresses it that much?
It does, but even with the chunk-wise mean pooling we talked about, the math is still tight. The paper estimates that the compressed KV matrices and the routing keys for 100 million tokens using 18 layers in BF16 precision take up about 169 gigabytes of memory.
Well, there's my point. 169 gigabytes is strictly greater than 160, and that does not even account for the base model parameters or the dynamic activation memory you need just to run the forward pass. The math simply does not add up for a single node.
It doesn't if you try a monolithic storage approach, but they engineered a tiered memory storage strategy. They realized that during the retrieval phase, the model only needs the routing keys to calculate relevance. The actual content KVs and values are only needed after the top K selection is made.
Oh, I see where this is going. Since the routing happens first, they split the cache. Let me guess, they keep the routing keys on the GPU and offload the rest.
Exactly. The routing keys take up about 56 gigabytes for the full 100 million token context, so those are GPU resident, distributed across the VRAM of multiple GPUs to ensure low latency retrieval.
And the bulky content KVs sit in the CPU's host DRAM, so the GPUs do the fast cosine similarity search on the 56 gigabytes of routing keys. Once the top K chunks are identified, the system asynchronously fetches just those specific content KVs from the CPU memory over the PCIe bus.
Yes, this completely decouples the memory capacity requirements from the strict VRAM limits. You can scale to 100 million tokens on standard hardware because the bulk of the data is just chilling in system RAM.
That is a very slick engineering hack. But what about the compute overhead of the retrieval itself? A similarity search over 56 gigabytes of routing keys on every forward pass is still a massive matrix multiplication. You would hit an out-of-memory error just from the activation spikes.
They anticipated that too, introducing a memory parallel retrieval strategy. Because their backbone model is a relatively compact 4 billion parameter Qwen model, they replicate the full weight models on each GPU. This avoids communication overhead during the decoding phase.
Ah, so each GPU handles a local shard of the routing keys. They broadcast the query's hidden states, each GPU calculates similarity scores independently against its shard, and then they do a fast global reduction to find the top K indices.
Exactly. And to handle those activation spikes you mentioned, they implemented a tiling mechanism for the scoring matrix multiplication to manage peak memory usage and prevent out-of-memory errors during these large-scale operations.
I have to say, Linda, I am impressed. They did not just propose a theoretical architecture, they built a highly practical inference pipeline. By amortizing the offline document encoding and using memory parallelism, they've made lifetime AI memory accessible without needing a billionaire's compute budget. So, Linda, we have our incredibly efficient tiered storage, chunk-pooled, rope-adjusted memory bank. It can pull a needle out of 100 million token haystack on a pair of standard GPUs. But what if the user's question requires finding 3 needles and knitting a sweater out of them?
You mean complex multi-hop reasoning? That is exactly what the authors built the memory interleave mechanism for. Single-shot retrieval, like we discussed earlier, is great for straightforward facts, but it falls apart when you need to connect scattered pieces of evidence.
Right. If I ask, when was Eric Watts' father born, the model first needs to find out who Eric's father is, which might be in document A, and then look up the father's birth date in document B. A single retrieval pass might miss document B entirely because the word Eric isn't explicitly in it.
Exactly. To solve this, MSA does not just retrieve once and generate. It alternates between generative retrieval and context expansion in an iterative loop. It is almost like it's having a structured conversation with its own memory bank.
Having a conversation with itself? How does that work in practice? Is it just running the router queue projector multiple times under the hood?
It is actually auto-regressive. The model starts by generating a sequence of document IDs based on the initial query. Once it outputs a special delimiter, the system pauses, fetches the original text of those specific documents, and appends them directly to the active query.
Ah, so the active context itself expands. The next time it runs a retrieval step, it's searching using the combined context of the original question and the newly retrieved evidence. That is a brilliant way to bridge cross-document dependencies.
Yes, and the best part is that the number of retrieval rounds is not hard-coded. The model adaptively decides when it has accumulated enough evidence. Once the model is satisfied that the evidence chain is complete, it transitions from generating document IDs to auto-regressively generating the final textual answer.
That adaptive nature is crucial. You definitely do not want your agent getting stuck in an infinite loop of reading encyclopedias before answering a simple question. Did the authors test how much this multi-step process actually helps?
They did, through an ablation study. Removing the memory interleave capability caused a massive 19.2% drop on the multi-hop hotpot QA dataset. It proved to be absolutely essential for compositional reasoning.
A 19% drop is huge. It really highlights that having a massive lifetime memory is useless if you can't follow the semantic breadcrumbs through it. It seems MSA is not just acting as a static filing cabinet, but rather a very capable research assistant. So, Linda, we have built this incredible machine. It uses tiered storage to fit on 2 GPUs, and it can interleave queries to connect the dots. But the real test of a massive memory system is the classic needle in a haystack evaluation. Can it actually find a single fact buried in millions of irrelevant tokens?
It absolutely can. They tested MSA on the Ruler Needle in a Haystack benchmark, which includes both single and complex multi-needle scenarios. At the 1 million token scale, MSA maintained a remarkable 94.84% retrieval accuracy.
That is astonishing. I imagine the baseline models completely fell apart at that scale.
Completely. The unmodified QWEN3B4 instruct backbone plummeted to under 25% accuracy at 1 million tokens, even leading external memory agents like RL Memory Agent 14B had a steeper decay rate than MSA. But the authors did not stop at 1 million.
Ah yes, the 100 million token promise from the abstract. Did they actually test that?
They did, using the MS Marco question answering benchmark, as they scaled the context from 16,000 all the way up to an unprecedented 100 million tokens, MSA showed less than a 9% degradation in performance. It stayed highly competitive, where other models suffered catastrophic collapse.
That is the true power of decoupling memory capacity from reasoning. By using that document-wise rope and sparse routing we discussed, adding more documents just adds more latent choices, not exponential noise to the attention heads. How did it fare on general QA tasks against state-of-the-art RAG setups?
It dominated same backbone RAG systems, yielding up to 16% average improvements. It even secured top performance on several datasets against best-of-breed pipelines using massive 235 billion parameter generators, which is wild considering MSA here is built on a 4 billion parameter model.
It is a classic David and Goliath story, but David has a perfectly organized 100 million token filing cabinet. It's not without limitations, of course. The authors note it still struggles when evidence is highly interlinked across many sources, relying heavily on that memory interleave to bridge the gaps. But as a foundational step, it's brilliant.
It really is. Giving general purpose models intrinsic lifetime scale memory could completely change how we build digital twins and long-term agents.
Indeed. Well, I am thoroughly convinced, Linda. Excellent paper choice today. Thank you all for joining us on this journey through the latent space. Until next time, keep your context windows open and keep dreaming in machine code.